Good morning.
Good morning.
And a very happy new year to one and all as we gather here together this morning, and to those who will listen to this service over the week through our website. As you were gathering, you would have seen the notices appear on the screens. Things will be beginning to pick up again after our Christmas period and different activities happening in the life of the church, so please do take note of those. As we gather here together this morning, we remember particularly those who are perhaps not keeping so well with various kind of health concerns, and sadly, as is often the case at this time of the year, we do have quite a number of funerals that are taking place, either funerals that I'm leading in the parish or in the parish and here in the church. I wouldn't usually make an announcement like this, but I think it's important this morning to mention one family in particular. Some of you may be aware of this, some of you will not. Jane McGowan, her son Gerard, tragically and suddenly died this past weekend. Gerard was only 40 years of age, and clearly death and the loss of a loved one is awful at any time in the story of our lives, but especially so when that comes suddenly and unexpectedly so. Please remember in your prayers all of those who are struggling and finding things difficult at this time of the year, but particularly today and in the following days, the McGowan family. This Sunday is Epiphany. Jesus, may we not hoard, but may we freely give. The gold of our hearts, the myrrh of our grief, the frankincense of our dreams, may we give freely to you. We worship God together in the singing of our first hymn, number 318, Lord, you were rich beyond all splendour.
Lord, you were rich beyond all splendor, yet for
We draw near to God in prayer, and we'll join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer, and they'll appear on the screens. Let us pray. Loving God, we remember this day that from the very beginning, the good news of Jesus Christ was not just for a few, but for all. Made known to the shepherds, ordinary, everyday people, going around their business, unlikely and yet chosen by you. You made the good news known to those wise travellers from the east, strangers living far away with no knowledge of you. Loving God, for the truth that this symbolises, that there is no one outside of your love, that the message of the good news of Jesus transcends all barriers, that you, Lord, seek to bring light to all corners of the world. We worship and give you our thanks this day. Loving God, we thank you for all that these last few weeks have meant to us in different ways. We thank you for the strength to live through these days, especially for those of us who have found them difficult. We thank you, Lord God, that your faithfulness, mercy, and love are new every morning. And so we gather here today as your people. We gather just as we are, for we can come no other way to you. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, may the light of your word shine in our hearts today, and may you draw us forward in faith and trust in Jesus. Lord, you have made your light shine in our hearts. Help us as we worship this day to rediscover that light alive in us, to know that by walking in your way, you lead us forward that we might bring light into the dark places of this world. Come, Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we unite our hearts together, praying in the words that Jesus gave to his first followers, as together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer on the screen has clearly been stuck in 2018 and not made its way to 2019, but we'll make sure it does for next week. I don't know about all of you, but for some of us, this is quite a strange time of the year. I don't know if you found yourself wondering which day of the week it is, which I have on certain occasions. And it's a strange time for us because we move from all of the excitement and the busyness and the family and everything that has been part of the last few weeks. And we sort of stand on the threshold of another year. And maybe for some of us it's with a degree of excitement, and if that's true, that's wonderful. But for many of us it's kind of... For many of you, you're retired, so you don't face the reality that many face tomorrow morning, which is the alarm going off and the return to work. And as we go through the month of January, you'll hear on the news, I think it's the second or the third Monday in January, is known as a kind of Blue Monday, because that's when everybody gets their credit card bills and all the bills in from Christmas time.
Today, across the world, the church is celebrating Epiphany. And it's lovely for us to think that in what we do today, we're joining with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the globe. And that moment of reaching a point in a journey where you discover something special. Because that's essentially what the story of the Magi is. As they travel following the star will lead them to a moment of discovery. One of the things that I always remember as a child growing up was my grandfather. And my grandfather was a door-to-door salesman. It wasn't a particularly special job that he did, but he was a very committed Christian man, and he did all sorts of things in the life of the church. But one of his greatest passions as a volunteer throughout his life was working for the Bible Society. And that was the thing that really captured him and got his attention. When my aunt married my uncle, so when his daughter married the man she was going to spend the rest of her life with, he wasn't a Christian. And my grandfather gifted him a Bible and said to him, "Read this and see where it takes you on the journey of your life." Now, my uncle was a very bright, intelligent man. He was a journalist. And the story is very simple. He read the Bible, and through reading the Bible, he had his moment of discovery, and he became a Christian, and his life was forever different. And it was through that reading of the Word of God that his moment of discovery and new beginnings came along. If you look in the shares in front of you this morning, you will see there, tucked in, Bibles, new Bibles, that we are dedicating in our church this morning. The way it works, nobody's here to touch them, they're not going to eat you, and I won't ask you to do anything with them. There was a poster when I was growing up as a young girl in church, and it said, "People whose Bibles are falling apart usually have lives that are not falling apart. People who have Bibles that are falling apart usually have lives that are not." And I think what that was saying was something about the power of this book to transform our lives and to change us as people, to gather us round it as a community, and to lead us forward into new insights about God and his love. Now, God speaks to us in many different ways, but one of the gifts that we have is this book. And certainly I remember my grandfather telling me the story, and if you don't know the story of Mary Jones, because she was the young girl who inspired the beginning of the Bible Society, go and find out the story of Mary Jones. And across the world today, people still hunger and thirst for a copy of this book in a language that they can read and understand for themselves. Right, for the smaller or younger people amongst us, or those that just want to exercise their brains this morning, there are 66 books in the Bible. This will take you back to something, some of you. There are 66 books in the Bible. If you remember the numbers 3 and 9, because 39 of those books are in the Old Testament. So the numbers 3 and 9. And then if you multiply 3 by 9, you get 27, which is the number of books in the New Testament. 27 books in the New Testament. And if you add the 39 and the 27 together, 66. So the story of God's love isn't just one book. 66 different books in different styles and different ways to woo us and to make us think. There's a talking donkey in the Bible. I wonder if you know where to find the story of the talking donkey. I wonder if you know the shortest verse in the whole of the Bible. Do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? John 11, verse 35. Two words. Jesus wept. So the next time that you find yourself weeping and weary and sad, remember, he too wept. The longest verse in the Bible, found in the book of Esther, 90 words in it. And I could go on doing this all morning, I'm not going to. The point is that I wonder if, as the people of God, we need to rediscover a love for this book again. So that it's not just something that is read from on a Sunday morning, but it's something that becomes part and parcel of the people that we are, day in and day out, and that we share together, reading on our own, reading together, reading in the community. We're grateful to God for the resources that allow us to have these new Bibles, the ones that we find place in the seats, and also the one that was placed by Jim on the lectern this morning. And we ask that as we read the words of the Bible in the days and weeks and months and years to come, that they would indeed become God's word to each of us. I wonder if you are within reaching distance of a Bible, if you'd be able to take hold of that in your hand, so that we might together dedicate these Bibles through our prayers this morning. Let's pray together. Today, in this place where God has called us together, we dedicate these new Bibles. And as we do so, as we hold them, look at them in our hands, may they be instruments for God's word to guide our lives, to inspire our service, to enliven our praise, and to strengthen our trust in him. When we are tempted to twist his words to satisfy our own way, call us back to your word, O Lord, that these scriptures might inspire us, your church. May we daily listen to your voice speaking to us through your word, that the word may mould us and shape us into people more in line with your love and your ways. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Scripture. And we thank you for the Bible Society nationally, here in Scotland and across the world. We thank you for those who work tirelessly to make sure that your word is available to every person in a language that they can read and understand at a price they can afford. Lord, forgive us when we have neglected your word. Help us that we might rededicate ourselves again this day to delving into your word, to soaking that word up, to debating it and arguing with it, and allowing it to shine a light for our path. Lord, this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist writes, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Watch the screens and the notices over the next few weeks, because I have a wee idea about how we're going to learn together to do a bit more reading of the Bible, not just in our own homes, but here in the life of our church as well. So keep a watch on that as well.
One of the things I was going to say, especially to our younger people this morning, the Bible is a book that you can read and talk with one another about, you can argue with one another about, you can debate with one another. The Bible is there and you don't need to be scared of it. The truth will come through the pages as you discuss it and get to know it together. And that's what I would definitely encourage for all of us, not to be afraid of the Bible, but to be excited about that word as it comes alive to us. We're going to sing a well-known song, number 641, and I can put, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God."